But we're in a good place right now, aren't we? We're in a good place. We're in the house of God. And we have the Bible before us, and so what more can we ask for? I have a sermon that I am very excited about because I've never preached this subject before. This is a new subject for me. So go in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 15. Chapter 15, find chapter 15. And I'm going to read a portion beginning at verse 21. So Matthew 15, 21. And I'll read through verse 28. Then Jesus, went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The verse I want to point out to you is verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, there's a lot going on here. Demon possession, Christ's mission to the Jews and not to the, or his initial mission to Jews and not to Gentiles. Christ being moved to answer this woman's prayer. Christ answering the prayer and working a miracle. But I want us to focus on, in verse 25, Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Have you ever asked yourself what the word worship means? Have you ever asked yourself, how do we worship God? I want us to look at the word worship today. If you're reading your Bibles, or let me say, when you are reading your Bible, and you came across a word that just caught your attention, like this word caught my attention as I was reading this verse recently, or this portion. We know we are to worship God. We know we are to worship Jesus. What is worship? We may have some association with churches of a different denomination that put a lot of emphasis on what they call worship. Is that Bible worship? Is that the worship that's being taught here in the New Testament? So, let's unpack this a little bit and try to learn and leave here today with a knowledge of what it means to worship in the hope that every one of us will do a better, I don't like to say job, but make true Bible worship our daily practice. We don't have to be in a church. We don't have to be subject to a liturgy or something that's led by a dignitary in the church in order to worship God. But what is worship? What is worship? I'm going to walk you through the process that I use to answer this question and to find the answer to this question. And maybe you will, maybe you have already have your way, your method. My wife and I normally do our devotions together simultaneously, but not the same devotion as such. And she has her particular books that she has become familiar with for study, and I have my particular books that I have become familiar with. And even though we are side by side in the kitchen before the stove, we are doing separate things, and then we share what we have learned from our research, from our study, and from our Bible reading. One of the first things I like to do, and you can do this too, is understand what is the word behind the word worship, because our Bible was given to us in another language. The New Testament was originally written in the Greek language, and not even the Greek that is spoken today, very similar to the Greek that is spoken today in Greece, but a different type of Greek. It's very interesting that archaeologists have never discovered a Greek dictionary. I mean, there are Greek dictionaries. You can go to the bookstore and buy a Greek dictionary. But from this day and age of the first century, and they also spoke the same type of Greek, Koine Greek, in the first and second centuries AD, BC, this is Koine Greek, and there's no such thing as a Koine Greek dictionary. We get our meanings for these Greek words in the context and in the usage of the word. Now, some of the modern versions of the Bible do not say worship here. They'll say she knelt. Is that what worship is? Is worship kneeling? Well, we'll develop that in a few minutes. But just know that these words have to come, the translation, and we believe that the Bible that we use, this Bible is a very accurate and wonderful translation of Scripture, but they come from the context, they come from comparing one with another and a certain amount of research. But we have no dictionary that is definitive on what these words mean. So the first thing I do in days past, I would go to my Greek New Testament and find out the word from my Greek New Testament. But I don't have to do that anymore because I have an app, a Bible app, and it's free. And it's made for laymen and lay people who do not have a degree in theology or in New Testament doctrine. It's made for us one and all. So I would go to my app, and the app that I use is called Blue Letter Bible. It's one of the first apps that ever came out to help you do this. There's others. My wife uses Bible Hub. There are other apps. Doesn't matter. They're all equally good. So you find a Bible app, and you put the verse, you type into your app, you open it and type in Matthew chapter 15, verse 25. And you go down through that as it's listed until you find the word worship as it's given in the verse. And then if it's like my app on Blue Letter Bible, you'll have given at the same time the Greek word, both in the Greek alphabet and in the English alphabet. And the word here for worship is proskuneo. Proskuneo. And you will learn as you look at this more, bring up the word and open up the word, that pros is a preposition. P-R-O-S is a preposition. And it means before, not before in terms of time, but in terms of position, in front of. And it carries with it the idea of down, like bending down, or kneeling down. And that's why modern versions have the word kneel here, because of the word pros. But the other part of that word is a verb, kanuo. Now, what does kanuo mean? We don't know. We don't have a dictionary. The best guess is the word kanuo comes from, and this happens a lot in Greek, they will take a certain word and then expand it into more vocabulary words. And it's possible that there's a theory, follow carefully, there's a theory that kanuo comes from the word kuon, K-U-O-N, kuon. Now, what do you suppose kuon means? Kuon means, wait for it, is the Greek word for dog. D-O-G, dog. Yeah, I was shocked too when I read this. So we have pros, and then we have a verb whose origin is this noun that means dog. Pros, before, or bowing, and dog. And these men who in the 1700s and the 1800s did a lot of work in the derivation of Greek words and bringing them into English, they have come to this, and I want to share this with you, that the verb proskunuo means to lick the hand as a dog licks the hand of its master. You all know what that, you've all have seen that, I'm sure. You've all have had that experience. I had it as recently as last Tuesday when I went to a body shop to consult the owner of the shop about a little fender bender on my car. And when he came out of the workshop, his dog came out with him. And his dog, being a Labrador retriever, those are the great lickers, in the dog family, he bowed his little big head. He was huge. If Paul Dempsey was a dog, this would have been Paul Dempsey. I can say that. He's not in the room, so I can say that. This dog was huge and friendly. That's Paul, right? Okay. And aggressive, okay? And he came right up to me. Uh-oh, I think Paul's moving. Okay, here he is. Can you hear me, Paul? So, where was I? Thank you, Paul. The dog pushed past the owner, came up to me and bowed his head and began to lick my hand. And I'm sharing that with you for this reason. That's the origin of the English, that's the origin of the Greek word that we have translated in our Bible as worship. I think it's fantastic. What is that dog doing and saying? You can picture this. I bet everybody here has had that experience. And you've probably thought it was yucky. Oh, yuck. That dog, he's got a filthy tongue. Who knows where that tongue has been? Who knows what has been in his mouth? He's probably been out there eating, deer droppings or something. Oh, horrible. Let me wash my hand. But what is that dog? What is going through that dog's mind when he does that? Think with me. Participate with me. Affection. Respect. Humility. Think of it. Here he is. His little head is bent, and he's licking. We've owned dogs. We had a great dog in South America, a German Shepherd. That dog taught me as much about God as, well, a lot about God. Respect, humility, affection, obedience. The next thing I would do is in my app, I would touch the word, and it would bring me to a type of concordance where that word appears in the Greek New Testament. I'm told that that word appears 60 times in the Greek New Testament. Remember the wise men? They came to Bethlehem to worship Jesus. Oh, I like this. When Jesus was walking on the water and his disciples were in a boat on the lake, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Then we have the verse that we just looked at. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Matthew 18, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And on it goes. Matthew 28, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. This is in the after the following the resurrection. And we can go through Luke, and we can go through John, Acts, 1 Corinthians, Hebrews 1:6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, "And let all the angels of God worship him." And then a lot of entries in Revelation. I think we should worship God. I think every one of us could improve in the amount of time spent in worshiping God. How do we worship God? Not by licking his hand, but by capturing the atmosphere or the heartfelt or the mindfelt characteristic of what it means to kiss the master's hand. First of all, it's humility. I'm repeating myself on purpose. It's humility. It's submission. It's respect, it's homage, it's admiration, it's adoration. Entering into worship. God deserves our worship. God has earned our worship. He gave his only son for us, for you, for me, for my family, for your family. that we might have a passage, a path from here to heaven. And that when we get to the door of heaven, we won't be told that we cannot enter because we're not equipped. But we are equipped because we've been washed in the blood of Christ. As believers in Christ, to accept Christ, to embrace Christ, is to accept and embrace his sacrifice. His death on the cross. His payment for our penalty. That's why we worship him. Because he died for us. That's why we worship God the Father. Because he gave up his Son for us. I won't say this because you cannot. The love of God is something that is, it's static. It's not in degrees like our love is. But I'm going to say it anyways. Humanly speaking, God loved us more than he loved his own Son. Because he didn't want to sacrifice us to hell. But he sacrificed his own Son, not to hell, but to death and the 3 days in the tomb. And he loved his Son and rose him from the dead. And he will rise us from the dead because he loves us. And that's why we worship him. A couple of questions here. How do you approach God when you pray? Is your mind 100% focused on him? Have you shut out the world? And I don't mean noise like the radio or the television, but I mean the thoughts, the worries, the anxieties, the questions. Are you fully focused on God? We pray, I think, with our eyes closed. I don't believe we're taught that. Maybe we are. I missed it. But I pray with my eyes closed because I don't want to focus on trying to see God. He's the invisible, almighty, all-powerful. I don't want to think about seeing him. I want to think about feeling him, getting a sense of his presence. And I can, you can, because you're indwelt by God, the third person of the Trinity. And that gives you a connection to heaven. A real, tangible, but not in a human sensation, but in a spiritual sensation of God's presence. We should put ourselves into an environment or atmosphere of worship. Understanding that it involves humility. Understanding that it involves confession, and confession is stating the truth. Being honest with yourself, because you aren't giving God any information that he didn't know. But you're speaking truth. Let's move a little bit here. Go to John chapter 4. John 4:23-24. Well, we'll start with 22. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I want to take this word truth and use it that when we come to God and come into worship, that we are there in truth, meaning that we are honest with ourselves. That we are sinners, that we are guilty, that God loves us and we love God. We don't wear our salvation like a tattoo, nor do we see it as a golden ticket to win a prize. It's a relationship, and that relationship should be characterized by worship. And I think that worship characteristic is symbolized in that dog licking the hand of his master. One of the reasons why I believe that's the true understanding of this word, proskuneo, is because I think that, I've got to be careful where, how far I go with this, but I think that this is almost, we could say, a universal experience. It's given to dogs to lick their master's hand. At least some dogs. Now, I've had a dog or two that was so stuck on himself that he wouldn't lick my hand. He would bite my hand, but he wouldn't lick my hand. That's a bad dog. Now, I'm talking about good dogs. Humility. Maybe that's why God has us bow our heads or fall to our knees. It's surrender. It's submission to God's will. It's saying, I'm not worthy, but because of Jesus, I am allowed here. And it's precious that I can talk to you, and I'm talking to you because I adore you and I admire you. And I claim you as my King and as my Lord and as my Savior. I owe you everything. And while I know that I am nothing, you are allowing me into your presence. And when you, Jesus, were on the cross, I was on your heart. That's worship. So let's be honest with ourselves. Second question. First question was, how do we approach God? Answer, in humble adoration and reverence. Second question. Is there someone else or something else that we worship more than God? Is there something or someone that is taking his place in our life that is standing between you and God? Are you mad at God? Some people make an idol out of anger. The idol is what it is that's inside of you that you are focused on all the time. It's a simple little expression we can use, saying for that. Whatever is in your cup will spill out when the cup is juggled. Right? I've never seen Andrew walk into church without a cup of coffee in his hand. That's okay. It's not a sin, Andrew. And I'm not saying you worship that coffee. I know better. I can pick on you because you have a good spirit and you will forgive me. And besides, you need a little attention once in a while. You're surrounded by beautiful kids and wife. No one ever sees you, but I see you. But when you're pushed and shoved and angered, what spills out? Then you got that coffee there and it spills out because coffee was in the cup. When that happens to you as a person emotionally, what spills out? Anger? Impatience? Whatever is in you is going to come out. And what is in you is what you are focused on. And what you are focused on is what you worship. I know Jesus is in you, but is he at the top of the of what is in you? Is he the first thing to come out? Thoughts of Jesus, expressions of Jesus, thanksgiving to God for your salvation, for your forgiveness. Thanksgiving for the Holy Spirit who allows you to have direct contact with God the Father. I don't know what's in a dog to make him want to lick a hand. Oh, you can say, well, it's the salt on your hand. And I don't know. You don't know. Doesn't matter what it is. What matters is that we would use that as a reminder that we should be, I'm not saying dogs. We should have that same attitude. I believe dogs have dispositions. They have personalities. I think we should have that personality. Out of humility, we will show more than appreciation. Love, I guess, is the word. For God. That's worship. So it's getting rid of anything else that is standing between you and God when it comes to worship. And it's looking at God in all the characteristics that he really is. That requires our humility because he's higher than us. Requires our submission because he has done things for us that we can't even begin to do for anybody else. Because it's so, his sense of forgiveness is so strong. It's obedience. It's, what's the word? I don't know, gregariousness? It's that we want to be in the company of him. We want to be in his company. I mean, how many of you have had to say to a dog, get down? We're saying to him, I don't want to be in your company, or I don't want you in my company. If we find a dog despicable, what does God think of us? Short of the blood of Christ, we're more despicable than a dog is. I think everybody should have a dog. I think everybody should be experiencing a dog licking your hand. I think everybody should be reminded of it's time to worship God, just like that dog is worshiping me. Don't write this off as a crazy message. The etymology of that word, I'm telling you the truth. I didn't make this up. There is a Greek word. There is a word for kiss in the Greek New Testament. It's not proskenuo. It's not kanuo. It's a different word. Kanuo is a derivative of the word dog. How in the world can dog be translated worship? Because it's talking about a dog that bows his little head and laps your hand, licks your hand. It's a picture of us entering into worship with God. Amen. Father, there's too much for us to learn, but we're willing to try. Teach us, O God, how to worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen.